It's time now for the Bob Siegel Show, a religious open forum where all questions are welcome. The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by on-camera and voiceover talent RodHunter.com and the law offices of Matthew Simone. And now, here's your host, Christian apologist Bob Siegel.
Welcome to the Bob Siegel Show, our theme, Christianity and its relationship to politics and pop culture. Well, if you thought blaming Republicans for Hurricane Ian due to their lack of concern about global warming was the only way to politicize a hurricane, think again. I'm reading from Fox News. Vice President Kamala Harris caused a stir Friday after she said the administration would take equity into account when dividing up disaster relief as Hurricane Ian rips up the eastern coastline. It is our lowest income communities and our communities of color that are most impacted by these extreme conditions, she said during the Democratic National Committee's Women's Leadership Forum. We have to address this in a way that is about giving resources based on equity, understanding that we fight for equality, but we also need to fight for equity, she added. Of course, that was just her way of saying there isn't going to be any real equality, right? Yes, of course. Anyone who lost their home or their business or even a loved one due to the hurricane, but who happened to be white, well, they just didn't suffer as much as a person of color. That makes perfect sense to me. Fortunately, it seems that FEMA is ignoring her remarks and doling out aid anyway to all who need it, so far at least. Meanwhile, Governor DeSantis of Florida talked about real problems associated with the hurricane post-hurricane looters. His comments had nothing to do with race. This disappoints the left, so they thought long and hard and found a way to make it fit into a narrative about race anyway. Here are his comments, his warning to looters. And I must say, I like every word he said. I stand by every word he said. The comments of Governor Ron DeSantis. The other thing that we're concerned about, particularly in those areas that were really hard hit, is, you know, we want to make sure we're maintaining law and order. Don't even think about looting. Don't even think about taking advantage of people in this vulnerable situation. And so local law enforcement is involved in monitoring that. You can have people, you know, bringing boats into some of these islands and trying to ransack people's homes. I can tell you, in the state of Florida, you never know what may be lurking behind somebody's home. And I would not want to chance that if I were you, given that we're a Second Amendment state. Well, Joy Reid of MSNBC was not going to stand for a comment like that. She promptly set out for Twitter. You know, Twitter, that arsenal of free expression, intellectual exchange, and moral high ground. And on Twitter, she called the DeSantis comments a racist threat from a segregationist. So, now a governor can't even ward off looters without being called a racist. My friends, let's just stop, take a deep breath, and check our brains. Did DeSantis make one single comment about race? Has DeSantis ever in his political career or his entire life expressed favor for the practice of racial segregation? The Democratic Party has a history of segregation, but DeSantis doesn't. Miss Reid, why are you assuming automatically that the looters he referred to will be black? Does that mean you yourself are assuming they will be black? Are you, perhaps, the racist? That's certainly a racist assumption you just made. Now, she did attempt to support her opinion by claiming DeSantis' comments had a similar tone. I love it when they bring in the tone. They had a similar tone to segregationist Miami Sheriff Walter E. Headley. If you haven't heard of him, it's because she's going back to the 60s. This is a guy who once said, when the looting starts, the shooting starts. Yes, that was a comment from Sheriff Headley. It was back in the 1960s. This was a man who did seem to be a racist. He talked about, and I'm just quoting him here, young hoodlums from Negro districts. But ladies and gentlemen, notice how she had to go that far back. Nothing has changed since the 1960s. No change in our laws, no change in most people's attitudes. Just keep conflating the past with the present when you need to make your point. I sure am getting sick of all this. Can't we ever come together as a country over anything? Even a hurricane? Aren't people suffering enough to be spared all this self-righteous claptrap? What causes politicians and media pundits to make such thoughtless, irresponsible babble? Well, I suspect 90% of it is driven by pure ego, a need to feel important, a need to feel that they're contributing to history. You see, they missed the real civil rights movement. They regret having not been around for such an historical occasion, so they pretend it's still happening. That way, they can feel important, too. And in doing so, ironically, they contribute to history, another kind of history. The kind that is the opposite of our civil rights movement. They, alas, are contributing to the destruction of a republic that has long since ended slavery and segregation. This is Bob Siegel, making the obvious obvious.
You only need to listen to this radio program once to figure out that Bob has very strong opinions on a wide variety of issues. But one of Bob's strongest passions is freedom of speech itself, even when such speech challenges his own convictions. So feel free to send Bob a comment or a thought-provoking question. You can reach Bob on Facebook, Twitter, or questions@bobsiegel.net.
When you trust the care of your children to others, it's comforting to know they share the same Christian values, that what you teach your children at home is also taught in their preschool environment. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is an all-inclusive preschool where the staff ministers to all children of all abilities, including children with special needs, through a curriculum developed by the owners and designed for the preschool-age child 3 to 5. During these preschool years, your children will make important developmental gains, as well as social and emotional development that'll be the foundation for their overall success in life. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is a state-licensed, Bible-believing, Bible-teaching preschool. Contact us now at WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com and secure a space for your preschooler. WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com or call 619-440-1044. 619-440-1044. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool.
Back to 1170 AM, 96.1 FM, The Answer. I'm your host, Bob Siegel. Always good to be joined by my friend, Jim Barrier.
Hey, Bob. I love that opening piece, and I couldn't agree more. It just seems that people are crazy out there. I don't know. They just seem to be making stuff up. You know, there's nothing. They don't have anything real.
That's exactly what they're doing. To make names for themselves, they're making things up. That is just exactly it.
So anyway, good job on the opening. And I don't take that hurricane and the deaths and the destruction lightly. I pray for the people in that area, even though the leftists ridicule us for praying. I'm concerned, and I hope they do a good job of taking care of people, whatever race they are. I hope that those people can recover. It's a devastating thing. And so our hearts go out to them. But, man, when people politicize it, it just seems it's beyond poor taste. Unconscionable is the word that I would think, you know. But you have said for years, you've described the parties as the spineless Republicans and the shameless Democrats. And they seem to find new depths to fall to.
That they do.
Yeah. So, a lot of stuff going on. Tonight, I wanted to give a little bit of time and give the State of the Classroom address and talk about education.
I could describe the State of the Classroom in just one word. Unfortunately, it's a word that the FCC wouldn't allow.
Oh, well, no, don't do that. Besides, I'm going to say some things. Maybe I don't know if I'll use that word, but
well, you can't either because they won't allow you to use it either.
Well, can't they bleep me?
well, they're not. We'd have to have Brendan as quick draw McGraw here on the bleep button.
Oh, but. He is. He's right on top of it, though. He's probably following a
well,
baseball.
Let's not make his job difficult in case he misses one, because then we could always blame it on him and not us. So we don't want to
do that
to poor Brendan.
No, we won't. So let us move on with the State of the Classroom address. And this is my opening. We have gone from reading, writing, and arithmetic to CRT, gender identity, and student loan forgiveness.
Yeah, and actually the loan forgiveness is the least of the problems, problematic as it happens to be.
Yeah, yeah. But you know, what they're doing now is just, again, unforgivable.
It's child abuse. I would just call it child abuse.
Yeah, you know what? I think you have a case for that. So here's some of the things. Let's talk about critical race theory. That sounds like a nice sophisticated term, critical race theory. And I would like to say it's somebody's theory. But let's look at the important parts of this. First, the foundation for CRT is, and I'm quoting, race is socially constructed, not biological in nature. Well, I agree with that. I agree completely. In Acts 17, the Apostle Paul said that God has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on the face of the earth. So I agree. Race is something that man has constructed, the divisions and the definitions and the labels and the boxes. That's something we've done to ourselves. Our friend Alveda King often says, there is only one race, the human race. And for those of you that are not familiar with Alveda, she is the niece of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and has been on this show, and she's a wonderful woman. But of all the people that could play the race card, she refuses to do that because she understood the things that her uncle stood for. So I agree, race is socially constructive. That part I don't have a problem with. Here's where it really gets into trouble for me. The concept that racism in the United States is normal, not aberrational. That racism has become internalized into the American conscience. In other words, systemic racism. And that I disagree with completely. Those are just words that the liberals have come up with to try to push guilt on people and to try to divide and
well, it's the new racism, and it's being used for a new segregation where they start segregating all the people with white, quote-unquote, privilege in the classroom. That is just people taking a racism that we once had, and they're reversing it. And yes, there are real racists in the country, but they're on all sides. There are white racists, there are black racists. Yeah. We need to be, if we're going to call people racist, let's call everyone who is a racist a racist. And I think critical race theory is being engineered by racists.
I think it's the tail wagging the dog. You know, I've had lots of experience. I lived in East Texas, which was is a very redneck area, and I saw racism face to face on both sides of the fence. At first, I was shocked that I'd hear people say things, but it is not something that I think is typical of the United States of America. I don't think we as a society believe that stuff. I've had experiences. For instance, there is a baseball series going on. Brendan knows about it. I don't know if you've been following it. I went the other night to a place to watch the game because it's on ESPN, and I don't get ESPN at home. So I went to watch this game, and I'm in a room full of people. The truth is, I was a minority, if you were going to be profiling. And it's a room full of guys, and we're all watching the game, and we're talking about sports, and there was never in the entire evening any hint of people playing race cards. We were all just sports fans.
Well, traditionally, sports for years has been a place where race just has not mattered. Look how many people just loved O.J. Simpson.
Well, there's a bunch of them. There have been there have been some great, great athletes. But, you know, I'm in there in this room. The only thing anybody was arguing about was whether LeBron James was as good as Michael Jordan.
Yeah, exactly.
And people have strong opinions about those things, but there was no racism. There was nothing like that. I've sat a number of times at the food court in Costco. Leslie and I go there sometimes when we have the grandkids because it's the cheapest way to feed an army of young men. And you go buy a pizza. And we'll be sitting there eating the pizza, and there will be people all around at the tables, different color and ethnic background. And we're having conversation. We're chatting. We're being friendly. There's nobody looks at you funny. No one looks at me funny because I'm white, and I certainly don't look at other people funny if they're not white. And I haven't had this experience that racism is systemic and that it is dominant in the culture in our country. I think it's a handful of people that are spewing this stuff out for their own devices, for their own purposes. And
And we can create it. We can make it a self-fulfilling prophecy. We can keep dividing people up according to race, keep telling everybody that there's racism, and then people will believe it. And then you know what? It may have been a mountain made out of a molehill, but now you have a mountain.
Yeah. Even in your opening piece about the hurricane, one person, the vice president, definitely is playing the race card, saying we need to take care of people of color first. Now, if that's not racism, if that's not prejudice, I don't understand those terms then. And then the governor of Florida never once says anything with any tone or hint of racial comment, and then he's accused. And so it creates division, and it makes people start thinking in terms of race. And that bugs me. I'm getting a little worked up here. So I don't buy it. And that they're pushing this in our schools, and that's where we started with this, is the school system, that they want to teach kids this stuff, that it's fact and that it's science and that it's history and whatever, that is really immoral. So I'm not a big fan of CRT. Now, I think we've come a long way. You mentioned the true civil rights movement in the 60s, and I was there. I was very impressionable, and I was watching that stuff. I was very moved by Dr. King and others who fought for rights and freedom and equality.
Did you ever hear Dr. King live personally?
No. No, I didn't. I've only on TV and video clips. I never got to see the man in person.
You have, however, met his niece, Alveda.
That's true, and I have great admiration for her. But here's what's happened since those days. We in this country, we have black CEOs of big corporations, black head coaches in sports, Oscar winners. We even elected a black president. Now, I'm saying, how is that not an opportunity? How is that some sort of wall that's holding people back? How is that oppressing people?
Yeah, and folks, just for the record, I did not vote for Obama, but if you think that had anything to do with skin color, Joe Biden is the worst president we have ever had in history, not Barack Obama. So yeah. I'll just say that to clear that up.
So, certainly in my life, you're right. Biden, I didn't think we could get any worse, but it keeps getting worse. And I did not vote for Obama either, but I was pleased with the reality that a person of color could run for president and win. It just was the wrong person for me. There were a lot of people.
Yeah, Ben Carson was my number one pick during the last Republican primary.
Yeah, love him. But so my point is that people have reached the highest level in their fields, regardless of color. And so where is the systemic racism in that? I'll tell you where the problem is. People who won't take advantage of the opportunity, people who won't go to school, people who refuse the opportunities that are right there. And these folks we're talking about that have been successful, they've got an education, they've worked hard in most cases, and climbed the ladder just like everybody else has to. I think we've just created a problem by handing out too much stuff and telling people they're victims and telling them they deserve something that they don't have to work for. And that is across the board with all races. But I think in poor communities, it's a bigger problem because people are struggling. They're desperate. And so you remember the song? There's a great song Elvis Presley did. Mac Davis wrote it. It's called The Ghetto. In the Ghetto, the working title for that song was called The Vicious Cycle. It starts off about this boy being born, and he's in the ghetto, and he turns to a life of crime. He winds up getting killed, and at the last stanza, and there's another boy born, and it starts all over again. I think that hasn't changed for however we failed. I'm including myself as part of society. We haven't helped people get out of that mentality that they can just continue being a gangbanger, a drug dealer, a pimp, or whatever they have to do, they think they have to do to survive. I don't know what the answer is economically, politically, socially to reversing that, but that's a real problem. But that's not something that is systemic in all of our society. I think most Americans don't care what color you are, what race you are. They care, you know, as Dr. King said, about their character, not the color of their skin. We would do well to get back to some of those principles. Now, we have things like affirmative action, that's a real fancy word for reverse discrimination, where you have a quota and you have to have so many people in your organization or in your school or whatever it is.
And it's not always discrimination in reverse against white people. There are a lot of Asians that can't get into universities because they do so well on test scores, but they go, oh, well, we can only let so many Asians in because of quotas. It's racism all over the place.
Wrong. Yeah, that's just plain wrong. So practices within our government that caters to people based on their race or their sexual orientation or gender preference or any of those things, that's profiling. In my opinion, these are the kind of things that are being pushed on our kids in the education system. That's what I have to say about that issue. And I don't know what it's going to take to make that go away because we hit the slippery slope. And I don't know even whoever gets elected in November and then 2 years later, whoever becomes the president. I don't know if there's enough that can be done to reverse this thing. I hope that there is. You never want to give up it. But we have made so many bad decisions, or at least this administration has made so many bad decisions. And the people on Capitol Hill are just spending money like it baffles me. And you know how the thing works. They'll pass a bill and they'll spend billions of dollars. And then it doesn't go to whatever the bill was titled. It's all divvied out to different things that had nothing to do with how they sold the bill. It's called pork barrel. But the amount of money that's being passed in these things is just frightening. I don't know if we will ever get out of debt now. We're so far in debt. I don't know what we could do to get out of debt, and that's a disturbing thing. But I want to move to the next subject about education, and that is what the effect of COVID has been on education. First off, when they shut down schools and sent kids home, and you know, they said, well, they can do distance learning. Well, that works if you have internet and a computer in your home, and teachers were not prepared for this. We haven't had anything like this in our time. And so there was no way for them to be prepared for the transition from in-person teaching to distance learning. We have suffered greatly in academics because of that time. And the truth is, I think for many young students, it was like they had 2 years of summer vacation. And back to the technical thing, low-income families were less likely to be equipped if they didn't have internet and a computer and a way to do that. The other thing is that kids You know, if parents don't know how to teach unless they've been trained. Most parents were not prepared for this. And so a student left to his own devices, pun intended, is likely going to watch video games and not work hard on his homework. It's hard enough in the classroom. I have friends that are teachers, and it's hard enough to make kids study, especially if you don't have the support of the parents. But we really suffered during the COVID thing.
Okay, hold that thought, Jim. You're listening to The Bob Siegel Show. We'll be right back. This is Bob Siegel. With the wiring in your home, you don't want to mess around with some unknown electrician. For all you know, he may have gotten his license by sending in 3 serial box tops.
Hey, these things happen. There's nothing wrong with my wiring. Houses burned down. You wanted a guarantee? You should have ordered the deluxe package.
Folks, play it smart. Call WNS Electric Incorporated. They specialize in contracting and repair. From troubleshooting to remodeling to circuit breakers and fuses, WNS takes a skilled but personal interest in your home at affordable rates. I use them myself, and I wouldn't call anyone else. Call 619-447-8785. That's 447-8785 for WNS Electric, license number 480539, WNS Electric.
Is it really true that there will be peace in the Middle East if we just have a two-state solution? Or are some people instead challenging Israel's right to exist at all? Is it true that Jews have no historical claim to the Holy Land and stole that land from a people called the Palestinians? Bob Siegel's latest book challenges the historical revision of the Israeli-Palestinian situation and shows how Israel's struggle may soon be the struggle of the entire world. The Holocaust Against Israel by Bob Siegel, available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
Welcome back to the Bob Siegel Show, our theme, Christianity and its relationship to politics.
Okay, we're talking about the effect of COVID on education and students, and they've already done studies, and they have found that performance was significantly in decline as a result of COVID and being at home and not in a classroom and all of that, and that developmental skills likely halted for many if they were already struggling. And I know I've got 4 grandkids and trying to coach them and help them. And by the way, my grandkids all homeschool. They did well before COVID. They were already homeschooling. But it's not an easy thing to get, especially the boys, all former boys. It's really challenging to get them to concentrate. So it was a challenging time, and it took its toll. A report produced by UNESCO and UNICEF and the World Bank, all bodies that we're so fond of, that they found this. They did a study and they found that students now risk losing, this is amazing, $17 trillion in lifetime earnings in present value, for about 14% of the global GDP because of COVID-related school closures. That's kind of sober.
Well, one good thing that came out of it, though, is that parents jumping on Zoom were hearing what their children were being taught for the first time. I would not be unhappy if all these schools just shut down when we're listening to the kind of stuff they're talking about, the critical race theory, the LGBTQ, all of that.
Well, and a lot of that, see, this is what happened to a great degree. You know, now that the president officially declared the pandemic over, because he has the authority to do that, just like he had the authority to push it down our throats, and now he's saying, well, it's over. Now, there are people that disagree with him. But schools are open. Kids are back in the classroom. They're trying to recover from this disastrous time of loss of learning. And we need to make it a priority to get good educators. Instead, this is what's happening. There's a greater focus now in post-COVID. And, you know, I refer to time split between BC and AD, before COVID and after Donald. They're pushing more woke ideologies in the classroom, more political indoctrination. The gender identity thing is a big one. I'm going to give some examples.
Well, and they're even pushing it with money. That, remember when the government was handing out money to help people recover from COVID? I just heard on the news the other night that some of that went to transgender story hours at our public libraries. That was money that was supposed to go toward COVID recovery. What does that have to do with transgender story hour?
That's what I'm talking about. And they've taken advantage. What's the old thing? Never let a good crisis go to waste.
Yep. Rahm Emanuel.
Let me read a few stories of what has happened in some of our schools. Connecticut middle school students were not only asked their preferred pronouns. That's a big thing now. What pronoun do you want to use? But then they were asked whether that should be shared with their parents or just be between the teacher and the student. Now, that's a horrible thing. That's a violation of parental rights. It's clear government interference in the family between parents and children. A California mother, a lot of these are California stories, a California mother challenged the Spreckels Union School District Board for allowing a teacher to coach her 12-year-old daughter on becoming a boy, choosing a boy's name, and hiding the plan from the family. How in the world can that be justifiable?
They just think they're better for our kids than the parents are. Basically, the state is going to raise your kids, not you.
Yeah. And that's wrong. A Pennsylvania teacher, Darren Tosato, in the Southside Area School District, was suspended after he told school officials he would not follow the district mandate requiring teachers to address students by their preferred pronouns because it violated his religious beliefs. So he was suspended. Pretty weird. Students at the University of Southern Maine, now this is in college, University of Southern Maine students are demanding that their professor be replaced for saying that there are only two sexes.
I heard another one where they're getting a professor replaced because they said his class was too hard. Well, it was a chemistry class. They were even using his textbooks in the department, but they got rid of him. I think they kept the textbooks.
That was at NYU. His class was too hard. Let me give you a few more of these. This is just absurd stuff, but it's happening right now in America. In fact, the Biden administration's fact sheet indicates that preventing a boy from using the girl's restroom would be discrimination if the boy identifies as a girl. Similarly, the fact sheet suggests that preventing a boy from trying out for the girl's cheerleading squad would be discrimination if the boy identifies as a girl. And, of course, we've seen this stuff that's happening in sports, where transgenders are competing and winning all the events in women's sports, and some of the women now are kicking back saying, this is just not fair.
Yeah, I was going to say, where are all of our feminist activists? Okay, hold with me, Jim, one more segment. You're listening to The Bob Siegel Show.
Reader enthusiasm for the Dangerous Christmas Ornament doesn't end. Check out this customer review from Amazon.com. Anytime I read a book where I want to find out what happens in the next chapter all the way to the last page of the book is a great book. This is the experience you and your children will have reading The Dangerous Christmas Ornament. I read the whole thing in a short time despite a busy schedule. The interesting plot lines has the flavor of realism because the author is writing from his own childhood experiences and ours as well. You will relate to the authentic family dynamics and the playground trials and triumphs described in the book. The book will also make you laugh as some of the characters have a great sense of humor, delivering good-natured jokes mixed with a dose of sarcasm. Most importantly, the book throughout has a moral dimension to it that takes it to a deeper level, making it a preferred selection to read to your kids. Enjoy The Dangerous Christmas Ornament, available in bookstores and libraries.
Welcome back to the Bob Siegel Show and say hello again to Jim Barrier.
All right. So we're giving the State of the Classroom address tonight, and we're currently talking about some legal cases that have happened in the education system. Before we do that, I just read this story recently. It boggles my mind. Boston Children's Hospital posted a video on YouTube, which they have since taken down because it stirred up so much stuff, where a psychologist explains that children know their own gender identity in the womb. Now, wait a minute.
You just can't make this stuff up.
When it comes to gender identity, we call them children, not fetuses.
Isn't that whole?
You can't have it both
ways. Is an interesting point, Jim. See what happens when people talk out of both sides of their mouth? They know their gender identity even before they're born, but they're not real people yet before they're born.
Exactly. So,
good call, Jim. Good subtle call there.
So that had nothing to do with education. It's just the result of it.
Well, it has to do with the people that are educating our children, though.
Yeah, exactly. Now, some more legal cases. Now, you mentioned the one that the New York University chemistry professor was fired because his students complained his class was too hard.
When you're trying to get into med school, they're supposed to be hard. They're trying to weed them out. Do we want these jerks operating on us someday if they can't even pass a class?
Well, we want people to succeed, which is just the opposite.
We want skilled people running our hospitals, not people that needed comforting rooms and coloring books.
Well, and we're starting to see things now. For instance, sort of related, the defund the police thing has taken its toll. Now they're having to hire whoever will take the job, and they're getting all these stories of corruption and guys that are, you know, men and women who are misusing the badge. And, you know, it always backfires. So, okay, here's another story about a teacher, Diane Tirado, 17 years a teacher, teaching 8th grade U.S. history at Westgate in Port St. Lucie, Florida, was fired because she gave some students a grade of 0 on an assignment. They had 2 weeks to complete it, but many of them turned nothing in. They had 2 weeks and they didn't even turn in a paper, so she gave them a 0. She was fired because the school's policy says a teacher cannot give a student a 0 grade. The lowest grade the teacher can give a student is 50%.
She should just say, I identify with a school teacher that gave them an A.
Yeah, but I mean, okay, you don't turn in a paper and you still get 50%. This is obviously not a math class.
Yeah.
It's absurd. And the fact that then that she was fired for that, now I think she took them to task and they've had to reinstate her, or they're going to, but the fact that it even was an issue, that she gave someone a 0 for doing 0 work. I guess I'm a dinosaur. When I was going to school, you didn't show up. I would make something up, I'd write something terrible and turn a paper in rather than turn nothing in. It was that was unacceptable.
That's because you knew you couldn't get away with it, Jim. Today, people can get away with anything.
Hey, when I was in school, there were teachers that had paddles. And if you goofed up in class, it was usually a male teacher that was also doubling as a coach, but he'd march you up in front of the class, tell you to bend over, and whack, give you a big old swat, you know, right there in class. Now, they'd go to jail if they did that today.
Oh, absolutely, they would go to jail. No ifs, ands, or buts.
Sometimes they are a change in.
Yeah, there you go, Bob Dylan.
Again and again and again. Okay, here's another one. A Cross Cobb Elementary School assistant principal refused to hire any teacher who he suspected would not teach progressive values in the classroom. And this included those who were Catholic, conservative, or older than 30.
Yeah, in other words, it included the people that are on the Biden administration's terror watch list.
Yeah. But this is an assistant principal, and he's hiring people based on their political ideals. And if they didn't line up with him, or if he suspected they didn't because they were of a particular religion or age, then he wouldn't hire them. The apostle said, "Brethren, these things ought not be so." I'm laughing, but it's tragic that this kind of stuff is being allowed to go on in our schools. I'm going to get all worked up here. I'm so glad that my grandkids are homeschooling. And, you know, there was a time not too long ago when I told my daughters, make the kids work hard, help them with their school, because you want them to go to college. Now I'm saying, do not send those boys to college. Put them in a trade school where they can learn something that's worthwhile. But I would not want any of my kids going to a higher education institution unless it were a Christian university, and then I'd have to be...
Well, even then, a lot of the Christian universities are compromising out, too. They're getting as woke as all get out.
Yeah, and my daughters, they're not rich, and so I don't know if they could afford quality schools like that, but I wouldn't want my grandkids even going to a junior college or anything in our area here because this is rampant in the system.
They're nothing but indoctrination centers.
It is. That's exactly what it is. And so that's when I texted you early in the week. I said, "We'll talk about indoctrination. I mean education." And I've seen it. I have friends whose kids have gone to school, good kids, a couple in mind, young men that I've known their whole life, and they've grown up, did well in school, went to school. One of them went to Cal Poly. The other one went to the University of Arizona, and they were solid, moral kids. They had conservative beliefs and values. They got out of 4 years of college, and all of a sudden they're as liberal as can be. And it's just, it's shocking. You know, they just...
Well, and it's not even liberal anymore. If liberal were all they were becoming, that wouldn't be a problem. They're becoming Marxist is what they're becoming.
Yeah. Well, they don't know that, or they wouldn't say that. But they, you know, they defend socialism, and they drank the Kool-Aid. And it just breaks my heart. And so we have a problem. So this is what I'm going to say. If I am grading our current education system, I have to give it an F. Oh, wait, I can't do that.
Oh, you can't do that, Jim. Yeah, you're going to get fired if you give them an F.
Yeah, I'll give them a 50%.
Well, you should just tell the student, you think it's an F, but what do you feel in your heart it is? And don't worry about it. Whatever you feel it is in your heart is what it is. That's reality now.
You know what? I've always wanted to do a show about that. And I think George Lucas is one of the great evils in our culture, because that whole thing, trust your feelings, use your feelings, that whole Star Wars religion, that's what people live by. They live by their feelings.
Yeah, and I enjoyed its application in Star Wars, but its application in the real world doesn't work too well. Okay, well, Jim, it's always a pleasure having you, and we will have you again in a couple of weeks. God bless you.
I think 3 weeks.
Yeah. Yep. In fact, we're going to have you on the night before your birthday, the night before Halloween.
Exactly right, so we're going to celebrate.
All right. Okay. Hey. All right, everybody. Hey. This is Bob Siegel making the obvious obvious.
Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by the law offices of Matthew Simone.